It's nice to see everyone that's come along tonight. Perhaps we can open our Bibles, please, in Luke's Gospel in chapter number 5. Luke's Gospel in chapter number 5. Fairly lengthy reading this evening. In this section of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 5, three particular incidents that I have in mind this evening. Beginning at verse 1, please, of Luke and chapter number 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that were taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass, on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's ask for God's help tonight, shall we? Let's just pray together. Our Father, we come into thy presence tonight. We thank thee, our Father, that we have read amongst ourselves this evening the word of God. We thank thee, our Father, that thy word is living, it's powerful. And we thank thee, our Father, that by thy Holy Spirit thou art able to speak to us. Just as clearly as thou spoke all those years ago by thy Son, we thank thee, our Father, that thy Holy Spirit is as very much God as thy Son is God. And we thank thee, our Father, that thou hast promised to give help by thy Holy Spirit. And we thank thee, our Father, that thy Holy Spirit is a spirit who is active. And we thank thee, our Father, that he convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We thank thee, our Father, that he brings the word of God to bear upon our heart. And we ask, our Father, tonight that thou would be gracious and speak to us. We think, our Father, of the tremendous things that have happened in these verses. There are things, our Father, that go beyond our own personal experience. And we know, Father, that we need to take them by faith, but we thank thee, our Father, that thou art a God who commands that we believe, not simply that there is a God, but we thank thee, our Father, that thou art a God who commands us to believe in the God who is. And we thank thee, our Father, that we can know thy very special and present help tonight. We can know thee speaking by thy word and speaking to our conscience. And we do pray, Father, that thou would give us help tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. I suppose, like myself, you'll have met people over the years that will tell you about things that can't be done and about things that just cannot possibly be. And we have read together tonight in Luke chapter 5 about three things that God just could not do. And the embarrassing thing was that God just went and done them. And that is very encouraging for me, and I trust it's encouraging for you. I want to think a little bit about a time, three occasions in the experience of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the reasoning of men, the arguments of men, meet reality. And we have them in Luke chapter number 5 in particular, a little verse that really spoke to me as I read it. Luke 5 verse number 22 says, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason you in your hearts?" Verse 21, "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" In other words, here are intelligent men, and they are thinking things through. They are thinking through what cannot be, and what can be, and what we can do. And their reason gets to a certain limit. There are certain things they say cannot be done. Man upon earth cannot forgive sins. A man who cannot walk cannot be made to walk. There are certain things that just cannot be done. And in these three sections, we find that where men have failed, whether it be the fishermen in the first section, verses 1 to 11, where fishermen fail, the Saviour is able to fill the nets. And where the doctors or the physicians fail, in verses 12 to 16 with the leper, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse. And then when religion fails, and when the teachers of the law fail, in verses 17 through to verses 26, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deal with man and his problems. When religion cannot help us, and when a church cannot help us, and when it's not sufficient just to be baptized, and when it's not sufficient just to say prayers, and we need the reality of the power of God in our life, and nothing else will do, then here in this section, reason. The things that we say cannot happen meet reality when we meet the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that he does have power to forgive sins. What a lovely three sections there are here in Luke chapter number 5. I notice, you know, that these three little sections in which the Saviour works, you know, they all kind of are introduced in the same way. And we have a little setting. Maybe I'll just draw your attention to it. In verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 5, you'll notice how similar they all are. I think Luke is just bringing them together for us. But Luke 5 verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him." And then we have the story of the fishermen. And then verse number 12. "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city." And then we have the story of the leper. And then in verse number 17. "And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching." And then we have the story of the man with the palsy. And so we have these three little sections. And Luke's just bringing them together for us. And it came to pass.
And he tells us in verse number 1 about people. Verse number 1, and it came to pass, and there were these people. And then verse number 12, and it came to pass, and they tell you about a place. And then verse number 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, and I'm going to tell you about a time. And so Luke is just telling us about the things the Lord Jesus Christ did, and there's a people, and there's a place, and there's a time. And in each of these three little sections Luke will bring to us, I think we'll find that not only are the settings very similar, but I think we'll find that the circumstances are very similar. For they all form the same kind of pattern in the way the Lord Jesus Christ works. We find, for example, that the Saviour will speak a word. We want to begin with that tonight. You'll notice in Luke chapter number 5, as the fishermen know the disappointment of the empty nets, and as the people come hungry, and they're looking for something to feed their souls. Verse 1 says, they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. To hear the word of God. And then a little later on, and the Saviour will speak to Simon Peter. And he'll say in verse number 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And the Saviour will speak. He'll speak a word that is marked by power. And then later on, the leper will come to the Lord Jesus. And in verse number 12, the leper will fall on his face and he'll say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Saviour says in verse 13, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And we have in each of the little sections the power of the word from the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that is able to cleanse a leper. The power of a word that is able to satisfy a soul. The power of his word that is able to bring fish into nets. And these little sections, they are marked by the power of the word of the Lord Jesus. They're not only marked by the power of his word, but you'll notice that in each of these little sections, as his word goes forth, there is a work that is done. Verse number 4 of Luke chapter number 5. We'll bring it together in a wee minute. I'm just giving you my little headings, but in Luke 5, verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. There's a word from the Lord Jesus. Then he's speaking to Simon Peter. Let's see what happens. Verse number 5, we've toiled all day and all night, and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He's heard a word from the Lord Jesus. He's going to act upon that word. And verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. We begin with these words. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks. As the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, that his word is marked by power. It has the power to fill the nets. It has the power to fill the people. It has the power to cleanse the leper. And as we hear his word, as we see him working in the lives of individuals, we are then left with something. And this we mustn't miss. You'll notice it's there in Luke chapter number 5, verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. We have it again in verse number 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. We have it again in verse 26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things together. What I'm trying to get at is there's a pattern here. The pattern begins, and it's the same pattern that must begin in my life. We hear his word. We see his work. And we wonder at his person. Did you see that pattern? You see, Luke is bringing these three sections together. Sections in which men have failed. The fishermen have failed. But the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for those fishermen. The physicians have failed. Here's a leper. He's full of leprosy. Can't do anything for this man. But the Lord can. By his word. His word is powerful. And as he speaks by his word, he is able to do a work in the life of that leper. The same is true of the man with the palsy. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks a word. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And as his word goes forth, a work is done. And he works his work in a person's life by the power of his word. We might not see miracles being performed today in the way that they were performed in Luke chapter number 5, but nonetheless, the Lord Jesus Christ works in the same way. We hear his word. He works in my life, and I take a step back, and I wonder
at who he is. Get that in the right order. Don't get it back to front. Don't get caught up with wonder and amazement and, oh, that's amazing that, you know, I was speaking to somebody the other day as I was trying to work in the garden, and he was telling me he'd seen something on the television and it was very interesting about the Bible and all the things that had happened and it was wonderful. But he had never personally had an experience of Jesus Christ and so having told me how wonderful it was, he would just go on and live his life as he'd always lived it. But notice the order. We hear a word from the Lord. The person of Jesus Christ speaks to me by his word. And that word comes with power. And I know that he has spoken to me. That word changes my life. And then I wonder at what he has done in my life. Not just my, isn't it interesting what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing round about us? Or isn't it just interesting what this Bible is all about? Or isn't it amazing the miracles that are happening here in Luke 5? But look, the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken to me by his word. He has actually touched my heart. A number of years ago I took a funeral. Ernie was the man's name. And at his funeral in Kilburnie, I had some of his letters that he had written to me. And I was able, from his letters, to tell folks that were there at that funeral about Ernie and about how he had come to know the Lord Jesus as his saviour in his late 70s. He was able to speak, although he was dead. When we come to Luke chapter number 5, and when we come to the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to speak by this word, although he's not present with us. And more than that, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to heaven, promised that he would send his Holy Spirit. And so not only do we have the word of a Saviour in the past, but we have the presence of the same resurrected living Saviour amongst us this evening. He is the one who was dead and is alive and lives forevermore. And so we have a Saviour who is able to speak to me tonight by his word and by his spirit. And tonight what I would love is for you to go away and saying, not just that I heard Stuart ranting and raving again tonight, or that we read some interesting stories from the Bible, but I would love you to be like the fisherman. I would love you to be like the leper. I would love you to be like the man who was there, sick of a palsy. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke to him. That's what we want. That's what I pray for before I come. And if I speak, before I speak, I pray that not only would I come and be able to share with you something from what I have been reading in my Bible, but that the person of Jesus Christ would be able to speak to you from his word. The Saviour speaks. There's a pattern. His word. And then he works. And then we wonder at who he is. There's no one like him. Peter wonders at his purity. Verse 8 of Luke 5. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Wonders at his purity. Men wondered at his power as he cleansed the leper. Verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Nothing had ever been done like this before. And then at the end they marvel, they wonder at his person. This is a different kind of person. No man can forgive sins, they say. Verse 21, who can forgive sins but God alone? And there in their midst, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that some of them knew, perhaps as a little boy growing up in Nazareth. Folks had seen him walking the streets. He seemed to be 100% man. He was as real a man as you and I are real. But how can he forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And they realized that amongst them was someone truly man, but with the power and the authority that belonged to God only. Here amongst them was the person of God incarnate that has come to be with us in human flesh. Here is someone to wonder at his power and at his purity and at his person. He indeed is God. All of this book is to draw me to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This word that we have here in our hands is to draw me to him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that has not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The way to God
is by his Son. John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. A personal way to a personal relationship with a living God by putting my faith and trust in a living Saviour who died for my sins at the cross of Calvary. That is the message of this book.
And as they looked and they wondered at the work of the Lord Jesus, they realised he was different. As I read through these three sections, I could see, you know, that Luke was bringing to me some patterns in the way the Lord works. He speaks to me by his word. A word that comes and it tells me, Stuart, you're a sinner. We've been reading in Romans, the first three chapters of Romans on a Tuesday night. We've been reading through them. And Paul's great conclusion in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God speaks to me in his word. He tells me I'm a sinner. He tells me that without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no other way, there is no other hope. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby I must be saved. He is the only way of salvation. This word from God tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. God speaks to me. He tells me I'm a sinner. He tells me I'm going to hell. He tells me he has given his Son as a saviour for me upon the cross of Calvary, and if I believe that, he can work a work in my life, just as he worked through Luke chapter number 5. He can save me, he can change me. And we can see perhaps that Luke is just bringing to us some patterns there. The work of Christ, the word of Christ, a wonder at Christ. But I wonder if you noticed as well that these folks that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, there were some things that were very similar as well about them. I noticed that these folks that came to the Lord Jesus, they were really determined to find him. Determined to find him. You get that, don't you, in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. There's a recipe for evangelism. What is evangelism about? What is gospel preaching about? Is it about me trying to ram the word of God down your throat? Well, if it is, we're in the hiding to nothing. Here is a real recipe for spiritual blessing and for salvation. Here we have seeking sinners. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, seeking sinners, and they found a seeking Saviour to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And if my heart has a desire, a God-given desire to find Christ and to find salvation and to find peace with God, God has a desire to meet you in your needs. And there, at that little shore, you know, it's almost as if God had built a purpose-built church building there just to house them, you know. There they are on the shore. Maybe the cliffs behind them, a kind of natural auditorium. The Saviour is going to need a platform. He's going to need a pulpit, and there's a boat, and he gets in the boat, and there's a pulpit, and it's drifting out in the water. Couldn't have had a better church building to preach in, could they? There's a shore, and they could gather in their masses on the shore, and the little boat is waiting by for him. Verse number 2, and the Saviour goes out into the sea, and he begins to preach. They come with a hunger. And if you come with a hunger for Christ, you will not be disappointed. But if you come just for entertainment, or just out of routine, or if you come with your arm twisted up your back, you may well go away disappointed. But they come with a hunger. Here are people that are determined to find Christ. There were things, you know, that might have put them off. Each of these three times as the Lord Jesus Christ will work, there are maybe all sorts of reasons why we should not believe. There were all sorts of reasons why maybe they shouldn't have bothered coming. There were all sorts of reasons why they could have had really legitimate doubts. And maybe just
of no bother, because, you know, in Luke chapter number 5, in that first section, as they come to Christ, and as the Lord will speak to Simon, and as he'll tell him in verse number 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. As the Lord will speak, Simon knows that he's been all night fishing and he's not caught anything, and yet the Lord is saying, away you go out and fish. Can the Lord really work where fishermen have failed? And there's a leper in the next section, and he's full of leprosy. You know, there was a chapter in the Bible, it's a book of Leviticus chapter 14, and it tells the Jews what to do if a leper is cleansed in Israel. What you do when a leper is cleansed in Israel. It's there, Leviticus chapter 14. The thing was, that chapter had never been used before in the 2,000 years since it had been written. Because it had not, since that book had been completed, there had not been a leper cleansed in Israel. There had been a leper cleansed in the days of Moses, Miriam, before the law was finished. And then there was a leper cleansed later on, and he was a Syrian, and nobody had ever actually come to a priest and said, look, I've been cleansed of my leprosy. What was this man's chances? Well, they could weigh them up pretty slim. Here I am, I'm a leper, and I'm full of leprosy, and it's never been known for anyone ever to be cleansed of leprosy. But look how he comes. He comes determined to find Christ, verse 12, and behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying. Do we get the impression that we've got people who are determined? Verse 1 says that they pressed upon him. Verse 12, he besought him. He didn't just come to a meeting or just pick up a Bible. He was actually eager to meet the person of the Lord Jesus. And what about here in Luke chapter 5 at the end of that third section? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the doctors of the law said that it couldn't be done. This man couldn't be healed. He could not be forgiven of his sins. And so you've got all of these reasons. Reasons for not believing. I was reading something the other day written by an atheist. They're always good for a laugh. He was saying that Christianity must be a lot of nonsense. Here's his reason. His reason was this, that Christianity must be a lot of nonsense. Because if you ask a Christian what it would take to prove that there was no God, many of them will say that no proof could be given to them to show that there was no God. In other words, he says, their Christian faith, it goes beyond reason. It goes beyond reason. It's not reasonable, it's not intelligent, it's just superstitious, it's just wishful thinking. In Luke chapter number 5, we find that faith does go beyond reason. And here's the reason that faith goes beyond reason. In Luke chapter number 5, God does not ask me to believe that he exists. In Luke chapter number 5, he commands me, to believe in the God who does exist. In other words, we believe in someone we have an experience of. We don't believe in Jesus Christ. We don't believe that he is able to save us because of a set of clever arguments. But rather, these people put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because they met him. That's the key. They met him. It wasn't just an idea. It wasn't just a set of theories. It wasn't just a set of clever arguments. It wasn't just a set of notes from a preacher. But rather, the Lord Jesus Christ came into their experience. He spoke his word, and they knew that he was speaking to their hearts. His word came, and in their lives, his power came. Following his word, there was a work, and they stood back in awe. For they put their faith in the God who is. They did not just believe that God is, but they believed in the God who is. What a step that is. There was real power there. Here were people determined to find Christ. Here were people who made a decision to put their faith in him. Sometimes that faith faltered a little, you know. There's a Simon Peter. The Lord will say to him in verse 4 of Luke chapter 5, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Lord tells him, let down the nets. He lets down a net. Maybe he harbours some doubts, but he lets it down anyway. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. There's a man in verse 24, I say unto you, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And what did he do? A man that hadn't walked, a man that had to be carried to the Lord Jesus, here's what he does. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. They were determined to find Christ. And then once they found Christ, they decided to put their faith in Christ. And having put their faith in Christ, they were determined to follow Christ. Three individuals that not only put their faith in the Lord Jesus, but three individuals that refused to believe certain things. They refused to believe that it couldn't be done. They refused to believe that they couldn't be cured. They refused to believe that their situation was hopeless. They didn't accept that. They refused to wallow in self-pity. They refused to live a life of constant despair. They decided rather to put their faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes it can be quite convenient just to take refuge in the idea that, well, I am what I am and I'll always be that way. I'm too old to change, or it's too late to change, or I'm too far gone to change. There's somebody in the village that I see every so often with a high cholesterol. There's nobody here today, but, you know, every 6 months or so I see this person and we've got her on all the right medication and we go through our diet, you know. I say, well, let's go through this diet again. You know what you're not meant to be eating? You're not meant to be eating chips. We'll have that every night, she says. You're not meant to be eating sausage rolls, pies or bread. We'll have that for my lunch, she says. You're not meant to be have any fish suppers. Oh, only 2 or 3 a week, she says. And we go through it every... I'm too old to change, she says. Can't I change now? The fact is, she has no intentions of changing. She doesn't want to change. She likes her fish suppers and her sausage rolls and her chips. Here are folks that weren't prepared to believe that they couldn't be changed, or that there was no hope for them, or that they had to be a leper all their life, or that they had to make do with empty nets, or that they had to lie in that bed for the rest of days. They refused to believe that. Not positive thinking on their part, but they refused to believe it because they decided to put their faith and trust in Christ. They decided to take a step of faith and to trust, not that there is a God, but to put their trust in the God who is, that is, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 21 of Luke 5, it cannot be done. And then in the midst of them, the Lord Jesus Christ gets up and the Lord Jesus Christ says this, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And there, right before their eyes, the man rises up, because here is the person of Jesus Christ amongst them. He is not only man, he is God. He's the one who will back up his word by the power of his work at Calvary. He's the one who has died for my sins. He has suffered for my sins. He was nailed to the cross at Calvary for my sins. He had a crown of thorns on his head for my sins. He was beaten and bruised and battered for my sins. And therefore he can say to me, Stuart, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. Get on with it now. On you go. Follow me. And here are three individuals, determined to find him, not just going to meetings, decided to put faith in him, and they had the desire to follow him. What an impact it is when the Lord Jesus speaks to us and works in us. There were two men with a good business, you know, in Luke 5. A good fishing business on the lake of Gennesaret. And in verse 11, they brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. That's what he wants you to do. I don't want to live the rest of your life as a leper.
or as a couple. He wants you to follow him. Oh, I find him, I put my faith in him, and I follow him. He speaks to me by his word. He tells me in this book, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. He tells me that he has died for my sin. He speaks to me by his word. He does a work in my life if I take that step of faith and ask him into my life. I trust him as my Lord and my Saviour. He does that work in my life, and I wonder, aye, what a Saviour. What a wonderful Saviour. God commands not that I believe that God is, but that I put my faith in the God who is, and who indeed is able to save. Let's pray. Our Father, we come into thy presence tonight. We give thanks for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for those who refused to believe that there was nothing could be done for them. And we thank thee, our Father, that they chose to put their faith and trust in thy Son. We thank thee, our Father, that in the midst of our difficulties, the midst of our despair, the midst of our sin, the midst, our Father, of our sorrow, that thou art a God who has given to us hope. We thank thee, our Father, for that hope that is there in the person of the Lord Jesus. We remember, our Father, that he alone is our hope. He is our hope. We thank thee, our Father, that we have no other hope other than faith in him. We remember, our Father, that thy word says that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Well, we thank thee, our Father, that in him we have one who is the way, the truth, the life. Remember, our Father, that no one comes to the Father but by me. We thank thee, our Father, for Christ. We pray that thou would draw us to him. We pray, our Father, that we might hear his word speaking to our hearts. We pray, Father, that we might put our faith and trust in him and see his work in our life. And we pray, Father, that we might indeed grow in wonder and awe at the greatness of thy Son. We offer thanks, our Father, for this time together. We thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou would be gracious and bless these few thoughts to us tonight as we offer thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.